Praise the Lord. Well, the title on the screen this morning is Bold, but I felt emboldened to put it on the screen. Tear the paper tiger to shreds. Tear the paper tiger to shreds. This phrase, paper tiger, is a literal translation from Chinese word, and it refers to something that seems to threaten but is ineffectual and unable to withstand challenge. A paper tiger is something that appears to threaten but is ineffectual and incapable of withstanding challenge. This phrase, paper tiger, came forth from the Chinese people, from their founder of the Communist People's Party of China, Mao Zedong, who founded communism in China in 1949. But in 1973, he came out with this word, paper tiger, and he used it against his opponents. This slogan became well known in the West because it was his created word to withstand his opponents in the West, any who would oppose the Chinese government and communist system, and in particular, the United States of America. Now, we know who the real paper tiger is. We have an adversary. We have one who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He works against us by intimidation. He tries to frighten us. He tries to overpower us. He works against us by pretense. He tries to make things that are not the case appear as though they are. He tries to come by fears and anxieties, fears, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real, or as Brother Mario taught us in Christ City Prayer a few months ago, false emotion against reality. The enemy is the true paper tiger, and we can tear through him if we walk properly with the Lord. We can break that intimidation. We can break those fears. We can break that opposition. We can break that pretense that comes. He masquerades. He misrepresents himself. He comes as a tempter. He comes as a deceiver. He comes as a liar because he is the father of all lies. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee with no one pursuing them, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Now, sometimes at the slightest provocation of the enemy or intimidation or fear or even circumstance, we go running for help. We feel it's impossible. We feel overwhelmed and overpowered. But the Word of God tells us to stand. It says, take a stand. Stand your ground. We do not wrestle chiefly against flesh and blood, although we do, as the inflection of the Greek is. But we do not wrestle chiefly against flesh and blood. We chiefly wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against wicked spirits in the high places or heavenly places. And Ephesians chapter 6 and 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Take your stand. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemings, the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, in the day of pressure against your life, in the day of temptation, in the day when the enemy comes up against you, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." That's how you stand. You do it all. You put on the armor of God. You take your prayers. You take the Word of God. You take the shield of faith. You have the two-edged sword in your mouth, speaking the word of God. This is how we overcome the enemy. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What I'm talking about this morning cannot be lived by an unbeliever. It cannot be lived by a non-Christian. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Centuries ago, the Puritans and then further men like Spurgeon warned the people. He said, beware against humanistic preachers. Be wary of moralistic preachers, motivational speakers, because they're bringing forth principles that apply to believer and unbeliever, and those principles have truth and they have wisdom in them, but they're not what I'm talking about this morning or what this Word of God is talking about today. We're talking about a crucified life. We're talking about a cross principle whereby we die to ourselves and we rise in the power of the living Christ, and we live in another dimension. We live by another spirit and another power. Charles Spurgeon said, do not try and make the gospel tasteful to the carnal mind. Don't try to make the gospel, this good news, tasteful to the carnal mind. He said, if you hide the offense of the gospel, you make it of no effect. And the offense of the gospel is that we have sinned and we must repent and we must rise in the power of Christ's name and we must live according to the Word of God and we must live the crucified life. And in that is our deliverance and in that is our answer. Now sometimes when a circumstance comes or intimidation comes, we're quick to run. But again, the Bible says, stand your ground, stand fast in the Lord. Jesus said to the Apostle Paul, as he fought the battles, and you know there was a messenger, Satan, that buffeted him and came against him, intimidation and fears and pressure against the Apostle Paul's life. And he prayed that this attack would be removed, but the Lord says, I'm not going to remove the enemy pressure. I'm going to let you live through it. You're going to overcome him. He's just a paper tiger to you. You can live in the power of my name and my life, and you will accomplish everything I have for you. Sometimes we're trying to get rid of the circumstance, trying to get rid of the spiritual warfare, and the Lord says, listen, that can remain. If I give you victory and teach you how to war, it won't matter if the enemy falls or if the circumstance falls. You're going to live in the power of a crucified life, and you're going to stand in my name. Hallelujah. There's a name that is above every other name. Jesus said, personally, the Apostle Paul, as he was facing that buffeting of Satan, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My empowering presence is what he meant. My empowering presence is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. You know how the Apostle Paul responded? Man, this warfare is just too tough on me. It's just too hard to live this Christian life. No, he said, moreover, I will rather glory now in my infirmities that the power of Christ would rest on me. He didn't say his sins. There's a difference between sins and infirmities. Infirmities are our human weakness, our frailty. We are without power. The Apostle Paul said, moreover, I would rather gladly glory in my infirmities, in my weakness. And the one thing we have to learn early in our Christian life is to acknowledge how weak we really are. That we do not have strength in ourselves for this warfare. That we do not have power over the world system and over our flesh on our own. We need the power of Christ. And Apostle Paul continued in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in reproaches, criticisms. I take pleasure in necessities, provision of life, struggles for finance. He said, I take pleasure in those. He said, I take pleasure in persecutions. I take pleasure in distresses. He said, because when I am weak, then I am strong, because the power of Christ rests on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can tear the paper tiger to shreds. We can live in the power of Jesus Christ. We can live in the power of a risen Lord because that's who we serve. Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and risen from the dead. We don't have some dead God that we're serving. We have a living Lord who lives inside of us in the power of his resurrection life. And though the enemy would bring up his appearances, his intimidations, he is unable to withstand the challenge of those that truly walk in faith and walk by the word of God. Hallelujah. Now the enemy comes. Jesus said, John 14:30, he says, the prince of this world is coming. The prince of this world is coming for me. He's coming after me, Jesus said. And you see in Matthew 4 how that wilderness temptation took place and the enemy came. Matthew 4 and verse 3 says, and when the tempter came to him, the tempter came to Jesus, and there was that intimidation and pretense, and the enemy was bluffing. He was trying to intimidate the Lord in that time of temptation and say, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. The tempter came to Jesus, and then it says the tempter took him to the pinnacle of the temple, the temple courts. The devil took him to a great and high mountain. And then it says the devil left him. Because every time the devil came against Jesus, he quoted the word of God. He said, I'm going to tear through this paper tiger. It is written, it is written, it is written. And he broke the threat. He broke the intimidation. I like the pattern there. The tempter came. The tempter took him. The tempter took him. And the tempter left him. The devil left him, but the devil said, I'm going to wait for another opportunity. I'm going to wait for a more favorable time. Maybe his guard will be down. You see, just because we've won victories in the past doesn't mean we can take ease in Zion and relax our spirit and relax our warfare. The enemy said, I'm going to come again, but for now, it's no use wasting time on Jesus of Nazareth. I'll go find an easier target for a while. But I'll be back. I'll be back. And the enemy did come back in the life of our Lord. And he comes at points in our life as well. And we must live in the power of the name of Jesus and by the power of the word of God. There was a young man, David, 17 years of age, and he went up against a giant. When you're 17 years of age, there are giants that come up against your life. When you're a child, there are giants. But I'm thankful the Bible says out of the mouth of babes and infants, God has perfected praise that those children can silence the power of the avenger and the devil. They can break it. A child has to learn how to war and break the intimidation of the enemy, the temptation of the enemy, the strength of the enemy. But here's David, 17 years of age, and he went up against a giant. See, the giant wants to take out the teenagers. The giant wants to take you out at 17. So you fall into a life of ruin and immorality and misery. And it'll take years before you recover sometimes. And in those years, he stripped you of a vast inheritance in the kingdom of God and who you can be as a son and daughter of the Most High. David, while other people fell to the side, was in the processing of God so that by 30 years of age, he could stand up and rule a nation, a man after God's own heart, and bring forth righteousness in the land. The enemy wants to take us out. What an intimidation of Goliath against David at that young age, 17. But David said, you may be big, but you can't back up your appearance because you come to me with sword and spear and shield, but I come to you in the name that is above every other name. I come to you in the name of the I Am God. And the Bible says that David hasted, he hurried, and it says he ran toward Goliath. And not only does it say he ran toward Goliath, it says David ran toward the entire army of the Philistines and against Goliath, and he brought him down, and God gave him great victory. What an intimidator that Goliath was. That's a picture of our enemy. Fears, intimidation, pretense, bluff. But in the power of Jesus Christ, in the power of the Word of God, David went up with the word of God. We can bring down our enemy, and we can silence him, and we can break through. Now, today it's very important. Jesus broke through the paper tiger because he could quote the word of God. And at every point of temptation, he said, "It is written." It is written. At every point of temptation. The Bible says, bring every thought into captivity, every enemy word, every enemy suggestion, every enemy emotion, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have to deal that specifically in this warfare if we want to walk in victory. Let me remind you of Israel when they came out of Canaan and how they said, "We can't take thee. We can't take the land." God says, "Go up into the promised land. I've delivered you out of Egypt. You've come through the waters of baptism. I've brought you to Sinai. I've put my Holy Spirit upon you and given you my words. Now go take the land." But the people went up in Numbers 13, and the last verse of this section that's on the screen, and they said, "All the people are men of great stature in that land. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." They said, "Those men are giants, and we are grasshoppers." And I can hear God shouting from heaven, "People of God, turn your binoculars around. Turn your binoculars around." Because the Bible says in Isaiah 40, 22, that when God considers the men of earth, he considers them as grasshoppers. But the people of God saw them as giants, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And the Lord was calling for them to stand. God had said, "Go up and take the land. It's my timing for you. Go and get some victories. Go take the land that's flowing with milk and honey." But the congregation and the spies would not believe God, except for two men, Caleb and Joshua. And they said, "Let us go up at once. God said, go up and take the land. Now let's say what God says. Let's go up and take the land." For these giants, these paper tigers, are nothing but bread for us, and we're going to devour them and eat them up, and we're going to become strong, and we're going to take the land. We're going to take the inheritance of the Lord. Two men of faith out of entire leadership and congregation of people, think of it. And the people never did enter the promised land. That generation wandered in the wilderness, saved, water baptized, word of God in their hands, but they never took the inheritance of the Lord. They never took the land. They didn't apprehend what God had for them. They settled down in a wilderness life. Numbers 13:30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." They are stronger than we. This circumstance is stronger than me. This temptation is stronger than me. This conflict is stronger. This distress is stronger than me. It's bringing me down. The people are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy 1. Moses is recounting this time when they turned back from taking the land. He said, "I said unto you, you are come unto the mountain." You are come to the mountain. Mountains, giants, obstacles. "You are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God does give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto you. Fear not, neither be discouraged." Ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God does give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you murmured in your tents. The Bible says they went up and they brought word again. We got to be careful what kind of word we bring. They brought word again. It doesn't say they brought the word of God. They mixed in their own word with the word of God and talked about the impossibility and how the giants were there and how we can't take it. Yes, it's a good inheritance, but we can't take it. They mixed their own word. We must be careful that we don't mix our own words in our day-to-day life. And the Bible says they murmured in their homes. And the Lord heard it all. Now in verse 32, Moses continues, yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in by fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And as the Lord heard the voice of your words, not his word was, go up, you're well able to take the land. No weapon formed against you will prosper. The enemies will fall before you. I'm giving you the land flowing with milk and honey. That was God's word, but they had their own words. The Lord heard the voice of your words and was angry, wroth, and swore, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon and to his children, because he has wholly followed the Lord. Caleb and Joshua lived an entire generation, 40 years in the wilderness, and took the land because they believed the word of God. Now, verse 37 is very interesting. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 37. Moses said, also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, you shall not go in either. You will not go in either. Moses had waited 40 years, think of it, to enter the promised land. He'd endured a generation of unbelief that had turned back at Kadesh Barnea. He said, when the day opens up for that land of milk and honey, I'm going in with Caleb and I'm going in with Joshua. He waited 40 years, and in the 40th year, Moses became agitated and grieved at the sin and murmuring within the congregation of the Lord. And he blurted out, he cried out in anger against them. He smote the rock twice and he cried out in anger. And the Lord said, because of your words, you're not going in. Psalm 106, 32 to 33, they angered him also at the waters of strife, that is, they angered Moses, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. When our spirit is provoked, we cannot afford to speak unadvisedly with our lips. And that is so much the pattern. And it's right there, isn't it? When we are provoked by a situation, by a circumstance, by people, the easiest thing is to blurt out something, to say something that isn't in line with the word of God and with the will of God. But it'll cost us. Moses, on that one occasion, blurted out words he shouldn't. And the Lord said, you spake unadvisedly. You can't take the land. I'm not letting you go into the promised land. You say, well, I didn't think that our walk with the Lord was that precise. Well, it is if you want to live in the promised land. It is if you want to live in a land flowing with milk and honey. It is if you want to live in a land of victory with the Lord. The words of our mouth are that important. In Numbers 14 and 28, God said this of the people that had forsaken him and not gone into the land, and he turned them back into the wilderness. He said, according to what you have spoken, so I will do unto you. According to what you have spoken, so will I do unto you. Our words are that important, brothers and sisters. And how we speak and how we come against intimidation, how we come against giants, how we come against obstacles, how we come against temptation. We must speak the word of the Lord. It is written, it is written, it is written. I will say what God says. I will bite my tongue in the natural to not speak unadvisedly with my lips. I must say what God says. I can't murmur in my home. I can't complain in my tent. I must say what God says because I want to live in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. Last Sunday night, we heard a great message on mountains. Let's look again at Mark chapter 11. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by this word. Might be a rhema word, a quickened word, but the whole word. Have faith in God. Believe the Bible. Say what the Bible says. Jesus said, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. What an emphasis on the words of our mouth. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I believe the word of God. I believe these words implicitly. There's no doubt concerning these words of God. Jesus said, have faith in God. He said, whoever shall say to this mountain, whoever says to the giant, whoever says to the intimidation, whoever says to the temptation, whoever says to the circumstance, be thou removed and be cast in the sea. You have to say it. Whoever says to this mountain. Because Jesus had just spoken to a fig tree a little while in the same passage and cursed it, and it dried up from the roots. He spoke to it. He said, no fruit be on you forever. Now he's saying, speak unto the mountain. Don't doubt in your heart. Believe the things which you say shall come to pass, and you will have whatsoever you say. Now that's based on the faith of God. That's based on a revelation that comes out of the scripture. That's not based on something out of our human mind that we want to see happen, or we want to see a circumstance unfold in a certain way, or certain things rise and fall according to our own mind. This is speaking of somebody that's got the word of God built into their life, and they begin to speak against obstacles. They speak against mountains. They speak against giants. They speak against these paper tigers that are trying to hold them back, fears and anxieties and reluctances, all these things that come against our spirit. And Jesus said, you shall have whatever you say. Zechariah 4:7, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone of the temple with shoutings, crying, grace, grace, favor unto it. Before Zerubbabel, this mountain will become the plain. We have to speak to the mountain. I like what Pastor Mark said last Sunday night. Some people can tell you all about the mountain. They can tell you about the topography of the mountain. They can tell you about the height of the mountain, the elevation of the mountain. They can tell you about the weather conditions on the mountain. They know all about the problem. My, they can tell you every detail of the circumstance and what's going on and how difficult it is. And Jesus never said to speak about the mountain. He said to speak to the mountain. He said to speak to the mountain. Now the prince of this world is coming, Jesus said. John chapter 14, the prince of this world is coming. And if he came to Jesus, You know he's coming to us because the servant is not above his master, nor the disciple above his Lord. In fact, Jesus said in that very same hour, he said, Simon, Peter, Satan has desired. He's asked for you. Satan has asked for you. He wants to sift you. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming. He's coming after me, but disciples, I want you to know he's also coming after you. Peter later wrote in his book and said, be sober. Because be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He said, your adversary. See, we all have an adversary, and he shows up in different ways and forms and appearances and intimidations against our lives. He comes in different ways of attack, but he comes. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming. Now notice John 14 and 30. In the King James Version, Jesus said, hereafter, I will not talk much with you. Said those words to his disciples. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. I will not talk much with you, disciples, right now, because the prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. I wonder if Jesus didn't say these words for a particular reason. He said, disciples, I can't talk much with you about what I'm going to face now and what I'm going to be going through. He said, I can't risk it. You might say things that you shouldn't say. Maybe he was thinking back to the time just a few months ago when he finally felt that he could share the secret of his heart, the mission of his life, and that holy mandate to give his life on the cross. And as he was with his 12 disciples one day, I'm going to open up, and he began to openly show them. He said, listen, the Son of Man is going to suffer. We're going up to Jerusalem, but I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to be treated shamefully, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to rise again. And you know what happened? Peter took him, and Peter began to shake him. And Peter began to rebuke the Lord and say, Lord, no, this will not happen to you. Lord, this is not going to happen to you. And Jesus was so taken back and at those faith-undermining words of his own disciple, he finally turned to him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense. You're a trap. You're a bait stick. You're a bait stick that I would follow into a trap. He said, your words have undermined me. Those words hit the Son of God so hard in an hour when he was believing his Father and walking in faith, and he had those words from his disciples, and now he's got another time, and he's going up to the greatest hour of his life, and he says, disciples, I can't talk to you much right now because you might be unguarded and you might say things you shouldn't say. The prince of this world is coming, Jesus said, and he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. I'm clean. I'm surrendered. I don't have bitterness. I don't have disappointment against God. I don't have anger at circumstances. I'm not upset at people. I'm not fighting the flesh. I've given my life to the will of God. I've surrendered to the Father. I delight to do your will, O Lord. I'm not struggling. He said, I'm clean. The prince of this world can come, but he has nothing in me. He won't find anything to latch onto. But he said, Simon, the enemy has desired you. He's asked for you. He wants to sift you as wheat. And Jesus knew there was something in Simon that the enemy could get hold of. And you know what Peter did in the hour of the denial in those days as they went up to the cross? Peter didn't say when the tempter came, when the accusation came, when the intimidation came, when the circumstance came. It is written. No, he spoke out of the flesh life. He spoke out of the flesh. He didn't speak out of the spirit. And Jesus said, listen, you've got to be careful. He said, Peter, you're not speaking out of the mind of God. You're speaking out of the mind of man. You don't have a mind right now for the things of God. Right now, Peter, when you're rebuking me, you have a mind for the things of men. And Peter did not say it is written. Peter did not stand up against the temptation. Peter did not stand up against the tempter as he came through people that day and say it is written. But he spoke his own mind and fell into trouble because of it. John 14:30, the Amplified. I will not talk with you much more. For the prince, evil genius, ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. The Passion Translation. I won't speak with you much longer, for the ruler of this dark world is coming, but he has no power over me, for he has nothing to use against me. How many this morning say, make me more like you, Jesus? Make me more like you. Come and work in my life. Cleanse me. Purge me. Is there something in me that the enemy can get hold of? Something in me that causes me to speak words that are against your word? And I don't say it is written, it is written, it is written. I speak my own mind. I speak about the mountain. I speak about the difficulty. I speak about the circumstance. I grumble and complain and run over at the mouth negative. Lord, is there something in me that the enemy can get a hold of that keeps me from living in the power of the victory of Christ? Keeps me out of the land flowing with milk and honey? This morning, how many would say, Lord, I want to be clean inside. Take anything out of me that pulls words out of me that are not according to your will and according to your spirit. That whatever I face, that I might really see the enemy as a paper tiger, not something that defeats me. Temptation, circumstance, criticism, people. No, they wear me down, they break me down. No, that's a paper tiger. That's the enemy behind that. And we can tear that paper tiger to shreds. But we have to do it by the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The power of a crucified life where we have brought the sentence of death against our own members and our life is no longer dear to us, but the life of the Lord within us. We thank you this morning, Lord. Teach us the ways of your kingdom this morning, Father God. His words go deep down in our heart. Let our confession be a confession of faith. When we're provoked, Lord, let us not speak inadvisedly with our lips, unadvisedly, but say what God says, say what God says. For whosoever will say to the mountain, be thou removed, he will have whatsoever he says. And we believe your word, Father, and we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister in your hearts. There's some area of your life this morning, some way of life, some way of conversation, some action in you that you know goes against the holy word of God and against the victory of Christ in you this morning. Repent of it. Lay it down. Say, Lord, I crucify that. That is flesh. That's like Peter. That's the mind of man. I'm going to cut that off from my life and out of my life. I want to live in the God mind. I want to live a life in the Spirit. Don't allow the enemy to intimidate you. He comes with pressure. He comes with fears. He comes with anxiety. He comes with pretense. He masquerades all the time, trying to break us down, keep us from the will of God. In some people's lives, he's so strong that they've given up their former victory and now live in weakness, saved but not walking in the power of God in their life anymore. The enemy has broken them down. His intimidation, he's come like a giant. And they say, I'm a grasshopper. Things have gone too awry on me. My life's been too hard. Things have gone against me. That's got nothing to do with anything. The matter of fact is that God wants us to learn how to live in every situation according to the power of God. And if we are his people, then the events and circumstances of our life have come by the processing of our life, that we could walk strong in God, maybe be delivered from ourselves. Sometimes the things we think we've lost are such a big loss, but God knows those things would have brought ruin to us in the future, or maybe ruin to our families, and he's kept us from some of those wrong desires of our heart. Now is the time to serve the Lord. Say, God, I stand with you on a clean foundation today. I stand with you. I'm going to walk out of this place today. I'm going to say, it is written, it is written, it is written. I am not going to allow words to come out of my mouth that are dishonoring to you or that bring ruin into my spirit. Because whosoever says, whosoever, whosoever, this is for every Christian. Now, nobody can speak to your mountain but you. We can help you. We can pray for your mountain. We can pray for you against your mountain. But there's only one person that can speak against their mountain, and that is the person himself or herself. That's the way God set it up. And that's why he said, whosoever will speak to the mountain will see it removed and be cast into the sea. How many believe the word of God this morning with all your heart? Hallelujah. The altars are open for anyone that wants to come to the front and receive prayer for any need or spend a few minutes before the Lord. If you'd like to do that, please slip out from where you are. But together, let's close out in a great song of surrender to the Lord. Yield ourselves to God afresh and thank him for his victory in our lives today.